Chapter 1. High Expectations. On the 2nd of May 1997, I walked into Downing Street as Prime Minister for the first time. I had never held office, not even as the most junior of junior ministers. It was my first and only job in government. The election night of the 1st of May had passed in a riot of celebration, exhilaration, and expectation. History was not so much being made as jumping up and down and dancing. 18 years of Conservative government had ended. Labour, New Labour, had won by a landslide. It felt as if a fresh era was beginning. As I walked through the iron gates into Downing Street, and as the crowd pressed forward in enthusiasm, I could feel the emotion like a charge. It ran not just through the crowd, but through the country. It affected everyone, making them believe all things were possible, that by the very act of election and the spirit surrounding it, the world could be changed. Everyone, except for me, that is. My predominant feeling was fear, and of a sort unlike anything I had felt before, deeper even than the fear I had felt the day I knew I was going to take over the leadership of the Labour Party. Until election night, this fear had been kept in check by the routine, rigour, and sheer physical and mental exertion of the campaign. Also, campaigning was familiar emotional as well as political territory. I had a strategy for guiding us from opposition into government. I adhered to it, and I knew that if I did so, I wouldn't fail. I had redefined the Labour Party as New Labour, a changed progressive force in British politics. I had set out an outline programme of sufficient substance to be credible, but lacking in the details that would have allowed our opponents to damn it. And I had fashioned a strong but believable attack on the government and assembled a ferociously effective election-fighting machine. In order to instill discipline into the party and even my close team, I was the eternal warrior against complacency. I regularly spoke about how big opinion poll leads could be lost, how the Tories should never be underestimated, how we had this problem and that challenge. Since we had lost 4 elections in a row and had never won 2 consecutive full terms, I was cultivating fairly fertile ground. The party had almost come to believe that it couldn't win, no matter what it did. I thought that was complete baloney. We had lost because we were out of touch with the modern voter in the modern world. The first rule in politics is that there are no rules, at least not in the sense of inevitable defeats or inevitable victories. If you have the right policy and the right strategy, you always have a chance of winning. Without them, you can lose no matter how certain the victory seems. Pretending that it was all really on a knife edge helped motivate us and kept us in line. Though underneath I was very confident, you never know. What's more, I believed the current Prime Minister, John Major, was much better than most others thought. He had real appeal as a person. Fortunately, his party had gone off the rails, to a heavy, hard right position, and over the seemingly interminable time I'd spent as leader of the opposition, almost 3 years, I'd learnt how to play him and his party off against each other. Major had decided on a long campaign of 3 months. It was tough, of course, but it wasn't an uncharted landscape, and it fitted a pattern. The hope was that we would trip up, I would suddenly lose my head, by some trick of fate or fortune the mood of the public would switch. It was never really going to happen. Instead, and rather more predictably, the Tories fell apart. Every time Major tried to get them on the front foot, someone in his ranks resigned, said something stupid, got caught in a scandal, and frequently, all 3 at once, and occasionally the same person. The election campaign was long, enervating, full of phony ups and downs, shock polls and startling happenings. But in the end, the result was obvious. The scale of the victory, however, was not clear. On the night of 1st of May, it became clear just how big. And that was when the fear started to set in. The actual day of the election had passed uneventfully. Campaigning stopped and I went to vote. I walked out of our constituency home in Trimden Colliery, an old mining village near Sedgefield in County Durham, where I'd been MP for 14 years. I strode to the polling station with Shree and the children, the ideal family picture, while a horde of snappers took our photograph.